This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Qudwatina wa Qaidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa wa arzuqna tiba'a. وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم واكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنعم علينا يا عظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace be upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, we continue with the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, asking Allah Azza wa Jal with these lessons that we increase our knowledge and we act upon the knowledge that we seek and learn. And we're up to the hadith of 13, hadith number 13, which is the brotherhood in Islam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, and I read it in Arabic then, inshallah, again to English. An Abi Hamzata, Anas, Ibn Malik, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, khadimi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal, la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsih. Alayhi salatu wa salam, has been this hadith been narrated by Anas ibn Malik Abu Hamza, the servant of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that none of you will become a true believer until they love for their brothers what they love for themselves. We start with the narrator of the hadith, Anas ibn Malik. Anas ibn Malik Abu Hamza as his nickname. And you realize that most of the companions have kunya. Kunya is when you name someone after their children by calling them Abu Fulan. So I have a son, for example, his name is Umar. So people name me Abu Umar. You have a son, for example, his name is Muhammad. They name you Abu Muhammad. So that was one of the customs of the Arabs. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted that custom and he made it as a sunnah. The alayhi salatu wassalam, he said, kannu, call yourselves after the names of your children. Call your names after the names, or call yourselves after the names of your children. And it does not necessarily have to be your oldest son. Doesn't have to be your oldest son, but some companions, they were named after one of their young children. One of their young children. So the say Khalid ibn Walid was named Abu Sulaiman, and Sulaiman was one of his children, and Sulaiman wasn't the eldest son of Khalid. فَالنَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ recommended us to name ourselves as the father of your children. So Abu Fulan, you have a son, Muhammad or Ahmad, so they call you Abu Muhammad or Abu Ahmad, and your wife Im Muhammad or Im Ahmad, and so on. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his time, he forbade for people to call the same name of the same kunya as his. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's kunya was Abu al-Qasim, because his eldest son was al-Qasim. He had two boys, one name al-Qasim and the other one was Abdullah or al-Tahir. Abdullah and al-Tahir are one. Some people mix up and say there's two. So the Prophet sallallahu had three boys. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam had two boys from Khadija and one more boy from Maria, and he named him Ibrahim. His eldest son was Al-Qasim. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was named Abu al-Qasim. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his time, he forbade people to make kunya, to nickname the same as his nickname. His time, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Sammu bi ismi, call your children and name your children with my name, wala takannu bi kunyati, and do not make kunya, do not have the same kunya as me. The reason behind that is because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the scholars say that he was once walking, and one companion called another companion, his name Abu al-Qasim. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned around, and the companion told him, sorry, Prophet Allah, I'm calling another person. So it was more of a disrespect. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, make kunya, or name your children, or name yourselves after my name, and do not name, or do not make kunya like my kunya. The scholars say, majority of scholars say, because some scholars say that's to the day of judgment, no one is allowed to name themselves Abu al-Qasim. You are allowed to name your son al-Qasim, but not to have the kunya as Abu al-Qasim. But majority of scholars say that was only at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the sunnah is that people do have that kunya, and that's what we call kunya, is someone naming themselves as the father of one of their children. And the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to call the companions as that. He used to call them with their kunya. He even used to give kunya to some of the companions. Like Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira, his name is Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhr. Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhr. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day he saw him playing with kittens, playing with the baby cats. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, what's that? He told him, Hirra. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Huraira, the father of Huraira. And yani, sometimes, and when you say the father of something, yani, someone that that's got a relation, or someone that relates, or has got some this thing that relates to him. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended for the kunya, and Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his kunya was Abu Hamza. His kunya was Abu Hamza. Anas ibn Malik, as you heard here, Khadim Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was Khadim in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the slave of the Prophet Muhammad, or the servant of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Not as a slave, as a slavery, like he was under the service, maybe a better word, under the service of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam arrived in Medina, the mother of Anas, and Anas at that time was only 10 years old. The mother of Anas, she wanted to give the Prophet ﷺ a gift. But because of her poor condition, so she gave her son to be under the service of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So she went to the Prophet ﷺ and told him, oh, Prophet Allah, he is my son, he's 10 years old, he's under your command, he'll take care of you, and he'll take care of what you want to be taken care of. And Anas says, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they used to take care of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by bringing him water to make wudu, by cleaning his siwak, by bringing his shoes. And the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam needs this to be taken there, needs to bring this to you. So Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was from among those. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Anas ibn Malik, he learned from the Prophet ﷺ. So 10 years old, he stayed in the household of the Prophet ﷺ, and he saw what other companions didn't get the chance to see. So obviously he learned a lot from the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and for that Anas ibn Malik became one of the great narrators of the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, in which he narrates a great number of ahadith. Not only that, but Anas ibn Malik lived for long. When Nabi ﷺ, he made dua for him, oh Allah bless him and bless his age. So for that, Anas ibn Malik, they say he lived for over 110 years. He lived for over 110 years. And Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed his offsprings. He had over 99 children and grandchildren at once. He had over 99 children and grandchildren at once, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, by Allah, I served the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 10 years. I have never experienced from him, alayhi salatu wasalam, that when he asked me to do something and I didn't do it, why didn't you do it? Or when I did something that I'm not supposed to do, why did you do it? He said, by Allah, I served him 10 years and I've never heard anything from him. And I've never heard him being harsh to me. And by Allah, I've never seen manners better than the manners of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And by Allah, I served him for 10 years and I've never smelled a better smell than the smell of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the fragrance of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said, by Allah, I've never touched more smoother hand than the hand of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This to show you the akhlaq of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and the great manners of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and what a high status of morals and ethics alayhi salatu wasalam had, even to young children. Even to young children. One of the companions, I could recall maybe Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says, by Allah, I saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and I've experienced the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam walking in the middle of the streets of Medina, and a young girl, 3-4 years, she'll come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and she'll grab his hand, and the Prophet will follow her wherever she goes. Yeah, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, what's this? You know, you're sending your kids to me. I'm not going to follow your children. And that's how humble the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was. That alayhi salatu wasalam used to humble himself to anyone. He used to humble himself to anyone. So Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhum was one of those companions who was under the service. Not only, there was other companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Anas was one of those who was under the service of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And of course he served him for 10 years because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was only in Medina for 10 years and then alayhi salatu wasallam passed away. Speaking about the manners of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, this hadith emphasizes on that in which he says, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبَّ لِنَفْسِهِ. None of you will become a true believer until the love for the brothers, what the love for themselves, or the love for the sisters, what the love for themselves. لا يؤمن أحدكم. You realize that many times in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says in many things and in many of his hadith, لا يؤمن أحدكم. None of you will become a true believer, or none of you will become a believer. None of you will become a believer. You realize that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that in this hadith, in other hadith in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam speaks about the manners. So what does that mean? Does it mean that someone does not have iman at all? So if I don't love my Muslim brother, if I don't love for him or Allah for myself, does it mean I've got no iman? These ahadith are always interpreted to be, it's from the signs of the perfect iman, complete iman. So in other words, there is a word to be added here. None of you will become a true believer or a complete believer until the love for them, for the brothers or the love for themselves. So you don't deny the whole iman. And if someone that prays and fasts and he believes in Allah, but he's got selfishness in him and he doesn't like for his Muslim brothers what he loves for himself, does it mean he's out of iman and that's it, he's a kafir and enters the hellfire? No. In Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in these ahadith in which alayhi salatu wasalam he's recommending manners and morals and ethics, here these, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam says none of you will become a believer, he is saying that none of you will have the complete iman. None of you will have the complete iman. So that person that doesn't love for his brothers while he loves for himself, but he's a Muslim that prays and fasts, he's got iman, but he lacks iman because he does not love for his Muslim brothers and his sisters what he loves for himself. So Nabi alayhi salam says, لا يؤمن أحدكم. None of you will have a complete iman. None of you will have a complete iman. And as we mentioned, the iman is stages. Wal imanu yanqus wa yazid, according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that the iman increases and decreases. Iman increases and decreases. وَإِذَا تُلَّتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Allah said that when the verses of Allah is recited upon them, their iman increases. So the iman increases and the iman decreases. Iman increases with sacrifice. Iman increases with a'mal, with action. Iman increases with doing. Iman increases with striving. Iman increases with experience. And also iman decreases with laziness. Iman decreases with not acting upon what you know. Iman decreases with putting yourself in the wrong environments. But the essential part of the iman, which is believing in Allah, believing in His prophets, believing in His messengers, believing in the Day of Judgment, believing in the Qada wal Qadr, the essential part of the iman, that does not increase or decrease. That should be on one level. That should be on one level. So there is the essential part of the iman, which is believing in Allah and believing the great attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is the iman of the iman increasing and decreasing from the point when it increase in a'mal or decreasing in the a'mal. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه, that none of you will come, none of you will have a complete iman. And of course, the complete iman, my brothers and sisters, the more you strive, and the more you sacrifice, and the more you do things sincerely from your heart, and the more you turn against your nafs, is the more your iman becomes complete. But the less you do that, is the less the iman becomes. So completing your iman is by you striving and sacrificing. And radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the sahaba had not the 100% complete iman, but they had at least one of the highest status of iman. They had the high status of iman and the strong iman because of their sacrifice and because of their a'mal and because of their striving in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A big difference between those who sacrifice and those who don't sacrifice. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying that none of you will have a complete iman until their love for their brothers or their love for themselves. So that's the second part of the hadith, that how do we have a complete iman, and what are the signs of the complete of what are the signs of having a complete iman is loving for your Muslim brothers, loving for your Muslim sisters what you love for yourself, which is generosity, which is brotherhood, which is sisterhood. These are the qualities that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came with. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sent by Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah sealed the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sealed all the rest of the adyan or all the rest of the shara'i' with the sharia of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah said, Muhammad khatim al-anbiya, the Muhammad is the last prophet and messenger, and no longer prophets and messengers after the prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not come just to tell people and fix their relationship between them and Allah Azza wa Jal. But Nabi alayhi sallam came and he fixed the relationship between the creation and the creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And between the creation and the other creations. And that's why what we call any worship that's between us and Allah, we call it ibadah. Any worship that's between us and another person that's involving a third party, we call it mu'amalat, dealings. And that's why the scholars always divide their books. The first part, ibadat, which are only worships that relate between Allah Azza wa Jal and His servants. And that's the salah, the siyam, and the zakat, and the hajj. And the second part, which is mu'amalat, which is also worships, and you get rewards on, but it deals with someone else, like marriage, buying and selling, and jihad, and so on. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to build a society, came to build a nation. And that nation can't be built unless that nation work together. And one of the things working together is to bring the brotherhood between each other. And obviously, the human being, by the nature of the human being, he's got selfishness. Every human being has got selfishness in them, and every human being has got love and generosity in them. Allah Azza wa Jalla had created the human being that way. Same thing, that in every human being there's good and bad, there's the khair and the evil. And same thing, the human being has generosity in him and he's got selfishness in him. With the iman, you could control that selfishness, but we eliminate that selfishness or reduce that selfishness and increase from the generosity. Or without the iman, that generosity will be reduced and the selfishness will increase. And that's why you realize that, I'm not going to say 100% all the time, but most of the times those people with iman who have sincerity and true ibadah and they really devote themselves to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, you find them more generous, you find them more loving. Why? Because iman controls the selfishness, that reduces it and puts it in its lowest level and will make the generosity increase. But when people don't have iman in them, when people don't have love of Allah Azza wa Jal in them, when people don't have devotion in their salah, or they don't have devotion in their religion, when people are far away from Allah, you find that the generosity is so low and the selfishness is so high. And you realize that, subhanAllah, you find those people with the iman, you find the people with taqwa, you find those people with piety and righteousness, their generosity is always high. Their generosity is always high, and their selfishness is always low. Why? Because iman maintains it. Iman maintains it. But those people are far away from the deen, involved in the haram. Their generosity is so low, and their selfishness is so high. All they care about is themselves and their desires, and all they care about is what they do, and all they care about is what they get, and they don't care about anyone around them. But al-mu'min doesn't have this. Why? Because the iman doesn't allow that. Al-iman is sharing with others, loving others, caring about others. And that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he described as people loving their Muslim brothers and sisters and caring for them what they care for themselves as a perfect and complete iman, as one of the signs of a perfect and complete iman. And very rarely people get to that stage. Very rarely people get to that stage. Only with strong iman, you find that in you, because you are making people share something in your life. You are making people share something in your life. When you start caring about your Muslim brothers, when you start caring about your Muslim sisters, and when you start loving for your Muslim brothers and sisters what you love for yourself, you are sharing something that belongs to you to others. And that's hard on the nafs. But the iman comes and makes it easy and allows that to happen. And the iman comes in, the piety comes in, and will make that easy and will allow it to happen. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he emphasizes on those topics so many times. And Nabi alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam, many areas, in many ahadith, in many incidents, in many events, alayhi salatu wa sallam, speak about the brotherhood. And what's the brotherhood? It's not just loving a brother for the sake of Allah. It's not just, Allah, I love you for the sake of Allah. This is not only the brotherhood, but the brotherhood is caring. The brotherhood is practice. The brotherhood is showing others that I do care about you the way I care about myself. And I do love good for you the way I love good for myself. And I wish khair for you the way I wish khair for myself. So the brotherhood is just not just stops there where I'll say, I love you, brother, for the sake of Allah. But when it comes time to the crunch, wallahi, people, huh, I only care about things coming to myself. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were a great example when it comes to the brotherhood. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were a great example when it comes to the brotherhood. Not wallahi, they loved the good for the Muslim brothers and sisters, were just the love for themselves. But they extremely loved them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they extremely sacrificed even their own things for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal for their own Muslim brothers. There's a famous story about companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum in one of the battles. And I guess it's the battle of Yarmouk. Where one of the companions was fighting on the battlefield. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he became so thirsty and injured on the ground. So another companion came with water to give it to him. So he told the brother, are you thirsty? He said, yes. So he came to drink that water. He heard another Muslim brother calling for water. So he said, no, my Muslim brother needs it more than me. SubhanAllah, this brother is dying. He's dying from thirst and injuries. And he sacrificed that drop of water for the sake of another Muslim brother. So this companion went to the other Muslim brother and he told him, brother, are you thirsty? He said, yes. And he came to give him the water. So I heard a third Muslim brother calling for water. He said, brother, my other Muslim brother needs it more than me. And this companion is also dying, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this companion that was carrying the water went to the third companion and he found him dead. He came to the first companion and he found him dead. He came to the second companion and found him dead. And this is the example where you say, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخي ما يحب لنفسه, that none of you will become a true believer until the love for the brothers or the love for themselves. This is a true example. It's not, wallahi, brotherhood, just I love your brother and that's it. But brotherhood is caring about others, loving others and wishing good for others and sacrificing for what you have in your life for others. Sacrificing for what you have in your life for others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he after also will judge us. Yani there is sometimes this hadith comes on our heads as a compulsory thing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna he after Allah Azza wa Jal will say to his servant, oh my servant, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. So the servant of Allah will say, oh Allah, how can I feed you and you are the Lord of this universe? So Allah Azza wa Jal will say to him, Oh my servant, one of my servants was hungry and you didn't feed him. One of my servants was hungry and he didn't feed him. And then Allah will tell him, oh my servant, I was thirsty and he didn't give me water. So the servant of Allah will say, oh Allah, and how could you get thirsty? And how could you need water when you are the Lord of the universe? So Allah Azza wa Jalla will say to him, oh my servant, one of my servants was thirsty and he didn't give him water. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla will say to him, oh my servant, I was ill and he didn't visit me. So say, oh Allah, and how could you get ill? And you are the master of this universe. So Allah Azza wa Jalla will say, oh my servant, one of my servants was ill and he didn't visit him. So subhanAllah, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam from this hadith indicates to us that it is our duty to sacrifice something from what we have for others. To sacrifice something from what we have for others. And sacrificing what we love most is the sign of iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. That you never obtain the birr. And the birr is the highest quality of the good. The birr is a word that expresses the best of good. A word that expresses the best of piety. لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون. That you never obtain the birr until you sacrifice what you love most. You will never obtain the best of good and the greatest of good until you sacrifice what you love most. When Abdullah ibn Mas'ud heard that, he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "O Prophet of Allah, I have a piece of land, by Allah, it is the most beloved. It is the most beloved thing in my heart. And for that, it's in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal." He wants to implement that verse. خلص. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. He wants to be from those who obtains the greatest of good and the greatest of piety and the greatest of righteousness and the greatest of good. And for that, he want to sacrifice the most beloved thing that he had, which was his land. And he said, "O Prophet Allah, it's in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal." For sacrificing, ikhwani, iman doesn't come. In Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, from this hadith, he is telling us, you want to increase your iman, you want to strengthen your iman, then love for your Muslim brothers, love for your Muslim sisters, where you love for yourself. Or brother, love for the Muslim brother, where you love for yourself. Or sister, love your Muslim sister for what you love yourself. And especially at this time, where you have a lot of Muslims, especially what's happening in the Middle East, a lot of Muslims who are going through hardships, a lot of Muslims who are being oppressed, a lot of Muslims who have been treated unjustly, they are in need too. So the minimum that's required from us in front of Allah is to make dua, give something in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Or I guess there is a lot of collection taking place here at Lakamba Mosque, other places. This is the minimum thing. If we're not going to implement this hadith by donating a few dollars for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, for those brothers and sisters in Lebanon, those brothers and sisters in Palestine, those brothers and sisters in Iraq and other places, then when are we going to implement this hadith? فَلَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never obtain the best of good until you sacrifice what you love most. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِهِ مَا يُحِبَّ لِنَفْسِهِ. That none of you will become a true believer until the love for the Muslim brothers, what the love for themselves. Allahumma ij'alna min alladhina yastami'una al-qawl fayattabi'una ahsana. Ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us from those who hear and act upon what they hear. Subhanakallahumma hamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.